3rd and 4 for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
Touchdown! Boston College!
He scores! Cangelosi puts it in.
WZBC Sports.
Welcome back to another WZBC Sports podcast. I am Jack Salmon. To my right is Matt Morosco. And today we're going to be breaking down some of the BC winter sports that we never really talked about as their seasons wrapped up a month or so ago. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about some BC hockey, some BC basketball. We'll just kind of quickly run through how their seasons ended and what we can look forward to going into next year.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you paying attention, we actually switched seats from last time. Last time I was to Jack's left, now I'm to Jack's right. Also, Jack, great job with the intro, one take. I mean, that's the way we like to do it here.
Very
on
professional.
WZBC Sports. Yeah, we have some seasons to wrap up. Some, you know, some disappointment at the end, really, from both teams, but kind of in different respects, really. The basketball team, they finished losing their last four, six of their last seven. Their season ended with a 10-point loss in the ACC tournament to Pitt. Not what you were looking for after a big win against the University of Louisville, a team that was in the top 25 and was an NCAA tournament team. You thought that the season might turn around, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I mean, the thing with the basketball team is what we saw last year was they got hot late, right? They started to make some noise. We go into the ACC tournament, we win two games, including the great game against NC State. I believe they were the 5 seed in the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
And that was the game where Jerome and Kai both just took over and Jerome hit that shot in the final 10 seconds, I believe. So it's kind of polar opposites from last year, you know, where this BC basketball team figured it out late and started playing some of their best basketball, right, you know, end of February, early March. And then they go to the NIT last year. They lose their first game to a good Western Kentucky team. But this year, like you said, Matt, total opposite, you know, losing six of our last seven. And the final game of the season, that loss to Pitt in the ACC tournament was pretty ugly. I mean, it ultimately was a 10-point loss, but I believe at halftime or, you know, in the first half, it was a 20-point game. And this was a Pitt team that we beat pretty handily here at Conti Forum just, I want to say, 2 weeks earlier. So definitely disappointing. You could tell that the team was just kind of ready for the season to be over. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much fire under them. So kind of, like we said, a disappointing end to a season that had a lot of promise coming into it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were looking forward to this season, and with the big recruits, Jarius Hamilton, the first 4-star recruit, his brother coming in as well. Chris Heron was kind of not necessarily a surprise, but he was a non-scholarship player coming in and played his way into a scholarship position on the team. And Winston Tabbs, again, came in firing. He was one of the ESPN wrote about him as one of the most underrated recruits in college basketball, and he came out firing. And we were all very excited about him until, unfortunately, some injuries derailed his freshman campaign. And with that said, too, Boston College has some significant losses from this team moving forward, a team that, like we said, underperformed to an extent. And now they're going to be without Kai Bowman and Jordan Chapman, two of their biggest contributors on the offensive end.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Bowman going to the NBA, he went last year without without an agent, right?
Right, so he was able to come back.
He was able to come back, and he heard he would be, I think what the sources were was last year he could have been a second-round pick, and he was told, go back to BC, work on your game, you can be a first-round pick. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. We wish him the best of luck. But yeah, it was, you know, as someone who has NBA potential, you don't come around again and risk an injury. It makes sense. And Chapman, the graduate student who's been around college basketball for years now, it feels like, he finally graduated. So yeah, that's much like last year when this BC basketball team lost Jerome Robinson, who was the majority of their scoring. Look, it happens again. You lose Chapman and Bowman, who, you know, senior leadership, you know, veteran guys who were doing Chapman, maybe not as much, but, I mean, Bowman was the main piece of this team. The team went with Kai Bowman. If Bowman was having a bad day, BC was going to lose, especially with Tabs out. So it'll be interesting to see how those spots get filled. I think the Winston Tabs thing is going to be is crucial. I mean, we saw – he only played, I want to say, 10-ish games, 10 or 14 games early in the season, and we saw flashes of greatness. Him and Bowman in the backcourt was a great combination, both very quick and athletic guards who moved the ball down the floor very, very quickly. BC was a fast-paced offense, And the thing with Tabs was he was able to create shots, and he was able to create shots for his teammates, right?
Yeah.
He was great at driving to the hoop, drawing in defenders, and either finishing tough layups or finding, you know, an open Chapman in the corner. If he plays this season, I think it would have been a much different season. Ultimately, he does get injured. But what I'm getting to with all of this, with this rant, is I think he will be a very, very big player next year for this Boston College team. I think he will be the star of this team next year. And I think he will be able to lead this team to be semi-successful with the pieces they have and with the pieces that are coming in.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point. I agree. You know, he's going to be your starting point guard next year. There's no question about it. Very, very talented guard. Like you mentioned, he's very quick. He has the ability to create, which was something that was certainly lacking on this team. You know, outside of Kai, very few people could create their own shot. Obviously, Pop had a good offensive season, but, you know, you needed to get him the ball, right? You needed to be able to run plays for him. He's not a guy that you can give the ball to. His time is winding down as a clutch performer. You know, you can't give him the ball at the top of the key and run an ISO for Pop. That's just not the nature of the position of being a center. But that being said, we talked about our losses. BC does have some good recruits coming in, most notably Jay Heath Jr. He's a four-star shooting guard out of Washington, D.C., and hopefully he's going to be able to complement Winston Tabbs very nicely in that backcourt. He is joined by fellow guard Julian Rishwain, who's a three-star recruit out of California. And then Kamari Williams is a 6'7", 200-pound forward out of Maryland. He's a three-star recruit. And Calvin Felder, a 6'7", 230-pound three-star recruit out of South Carolina. And look, Boston College has had some good luck recruiting in that area, in the Mid-Atlantic, with D.C. and most notably, obviously, recruits from Carolina. So hopefully Calvin Felder will be able to pan out. And this has B.C. has the making to be a very, very good young team moving forward, with the potential of having seven underclassmen being significant contributors to this team next year. When you look at Heron, Tabs, Hamilton, and then the four incoming freshmen, again, most notably Jay Heath Jr. And now it's 2 years in a row where Boston College has had a four-star recruit coming in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you talk about being a younger team. The only senior on next year's team is going to be Nick Popovich, who, worth pointing out, had a good year. All 3 years he's been here, he has progressed, and he has, you know, more points per game, more rebounds per game. So look for big things out of him next year, too. But like you said, this will be a young team, but a young team with a lot of talent, right? I think Jarius Hamilton, the four-star who came in last year, you know, we put a lot of expectations on him. You know, first four-star coming here under Jim Christian, first four-star in a while coming to play basketball at BC. There was a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure on him, right? We saw some flashes of greatness, but overall I think we didn't quite get what we thought we were getting. That being said, you know, you give him another year, right? The first year of adjusting to the college level, of getting used to it. I think we can expect more out of him next year, and you bring in another four-star. You bring in Jay Heath Jr., and, you know, Tabs is coming back, and you look at what Chris Heron Jr. can do with a year of experience under his belt. Like you said, I think this is a young team, but, you know, it's younger players that will have had experience, and you bring in, you know, a four-star and three more three-stars, and Christian and this coaching staff have had success, like you said, Matt, you know, finding diamonds in the rough or taking guys who, like, you know, Jerome, who I believe was a three-star, and, you know, turning him into a lottery pick in the NBA draft. Same thing with Kai Bowman. So this BC coaching staff does a good job of finding either undervalued players or of, you know, turning these, you know, middle-of-the-pack recruits into stars at the collegiate level that can go on and play in the NBA. So you have to think that's going to keep going here, and these recruits are going to pan out, and they can add to this existing staff that BC has.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, Boston College has done a good job of working with what we have. And again, you know, we're very excited for a four-star recruit, but to compete in the ACC, you know, you do have to move beyond that a little bit, because you look at the teams that you're playing and they're running out all, you know, a starting five full of five-star recruits. But that being said, BC is trending in the right direction, at least recruiting-wise. And I think Jay Heath Jr. will be able to be a contributor right away. There's definitely a difference between being a four-star recruit because of your measurables, right?
Right.
Which is what you saw with Hamilton, right? He's an athlete, an incredible athlete, incredibly fast off the floor. And you saw flashes, like you mentioned, of his great athleticism. But again, you have to adjust to the college game when you rely on your athleticism so heavily, right? Because now everybody is just as athletic as you are.
Right.
Whereas if you're a guard coming out of D.C., especially, you know, a shooting guard, a four-star guard, it's not as big of an adjustment. You know that he's a four-star recruit because of his tools, right? Because he can shoot the ball well, because he can create his own shot, not just relying on his athleticism to just be bigger and stronger and faster than everybody else on the floor. So I think he'll be a contributor right away next year, and I'm looking forward to see what he brings to the table for this Boston College squad.
Yeah, and I think next year is going to be a very important year for this BC basketball team. You know, in our earlier podcast, we talked a lot about, you know, is this a make-or-break year for Jim Christian if, you know, this BC team has a losing record, which let's point out, I don't even know if we said this, BC finished the year 14-17. If you go back to our preseason predictions, both Ben, one of the presidents this year, and myself predicted this BC team to be over 500. I believe we were both sitting around. Ben was more optimistic than myself. I think I was around the 17-14 area, maybe. What would that be, 19-12? I don't know if I was that optimistic. Maybe I had my numbers wrong. But I think we both thought this team could win around 17, maybe 20 games. And Matt, you were the one, I think you ultimately were correct out of us three. I don't know if you said they'd have a losing record or if you just said they'd be more of a 500 team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I think next year is a really, really big year for Jim Christian because what he does great is recruit. And we were just talking about this, you know, finding diamonds in the rough or, you know, developing these players into look at what Jerome turned into. Look at Popovich is a great example. Every year he's been here, he has gotten better. And there's times where he looks like one of the better big men in the ACC, right? There's games where he'll go on and score 22 points and grab, you know, 10 boards, get himself a double-double. So that is his strength, but at the same time, you have to have results, right? You can't just keep going out there and being mediocre, bottom of the pack of ACC year in and year out. Yes, it's one thing that is hard to recruit here, but, you know, and we're praising this recruiting class. This realistically is going to put us in dead last or maybe within the back two or three of ACC basketball in terms of recruiting. And if you don't get results, if BC continues to live in that back area of the ACC, in the cellar of the ACC, eventually things are going to change. Right.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And I think that there's going to be a lot more of an emphasis put on kind of creating an atmosphere around the game, putting energy into the stadium to see if that has any effect on this team. And basketball is, and college sports in general, are, you know, energy-based sports, right? They're momentum-based sports, big swings, big shots, get the crowd going. So I know that there's a lot more emphasis is going to be put on creating a rowdy game day atmosphere in Conte this coming season. And I think if we don't see results after that, I think that there may be changes. Look, you know, BC has struggled. There's no question about it, and it might be time for a culture change, but we'll see. Again, I am looking forward, and I am optimistic about this young core going forward, and I think that this young core, given some level of consistency on the coaching staff, I think could produce things that Boston College hasn't had in a while, and I think that if these guys all pan out, you're looking at the potential for next year and 2 years down the line to have a class with seven upperclassmen, a team with seven upperclassmen, that could potentially, you know, and obviously lots of experience too, that could potentially take Boston College into the NCAA tournament. But that's all very far down the road. I think that pretty much covers basketball, right? Any last words?
I think that's pretty much it. Like you said, I like the point you made with the upperclassmen. BC is never going to be a school that's going to have the one-and-dones like a Duke, right, or a UNC, where you can get the top recruits that come in, get it done, and move on. If BC's ever going to have success in basketball, and I shouldn't say it that way, if BC's ever going to get back to being a successful collegiate basketball team, where you're going to the NCAA tournament, where you're competing, right, within the ACC, because I would say that we didn't compete in the ACC this year, it's going to have to be because the team is built up with senior leadership, because you have guys who stay there for 4 years, who develop, who get the chemistry. That's what BC needs. And like you said, Matt, the formula's in place. You have a lot of young guys, and a lot of young guys are going to get playing time. That's the way it's been, you know, these past couple of years. And, you know, we've seen some of these guys grow up in the program. Popovich, Steph. You know, Tabs missed a lot of last year, but he's a big piece of that. If he can, you know, seeing him stay around through his junior year, hopefully his senior year, that will help a lot. And then you add, you know, like a Jay Heath Jr. coming in, another four-star. You hope that, you know, those guys playing together for, you know, 2-3 years can help turn this program around and then bring in better recruits.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think next year should be an interesting year. I would think somewhere of a little better record than this year. You know, I think we were a little too optimistic, but I think this team should be able to figure it out and be a 500 team next year. But I think that's reasonably where I'm going to stand until we come out with our preseason basketball podcast for next year.
Yeah, I'm making no predictions for next year right now. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I would be a little bit less optimistic than that. I think we lose some big pieces. I think 2 or 3 years down the line, yes, we have the potential to be a very good team in the ACC. Next year, I think, is definitely going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year. But again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Maybe these freshmen come in ready to go and overperform. But yeah, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with this basketball team.
We'll have to wait and see. I think just finish real quick. Biggest thing you're looking forward to see out of this basketball team next year? Thing like the biggest thing to watch.
Biggest thing to watch next year is going to be the development of Jarius Hamilton.
Yeah, I think that is crucial.
That's fine. It's huge. I think that he has the potential again to be a dominant player in the ACC. That he is so athletic. He is, at times, looks like the most athletic player on the floor, no matter who we're playing. So I think if he can develop his skills, right, develop his a more consistent jump shot, be able to take the ball to the rim from the top of the key and work on his low post game as well. And really, you know, his intensity is there, which is something that this team needs badly or has needed badly in the past. He's a grinder. He grabs rebounds. He affects the game in ways even when he's not scoring. He affects the game positively. So I think that his offensive game will come, and I think that that is going to be the number one key to Boston College next year.
Absolutely. I probably would have said the similar thing, but I'll just pick something different because you did. I'm going to say Winston Tabbs. Mm-hmm. I think the offense is going to ride on Tabbs next year, his ability to create shots for his teammates and his ability just to control that offense, right? We saw how good he was. There's going to be a lot riding on him next year. And yeah, so I say we wrap up basketball there. And while basketball was a bit of a disappointing team in terms of the results this year, one team that I think I would have said the same thing a couple weeks ago would have been the BC hockey team. But they really turned it around the last couple weeks of the season and changed my opinion and my outlook on this team going forward. So look, this BC hockey team, the record, the overall record was ugly. Like, you can't sugarcoat it. They finished the season 14-22-3. Not a Boston College record. Not something you expect with a team coached by Jerry Orr.
Right.
And with a team that, you know, won 3 NCAA titles in a span of 5 years. That being said, the last, what was it, two weeks of the season, this BC hockey team figured it out.
They turned it on.
They figured it out. It's unfortunate that it happened so late, but this Boston College hockey team figured it out late in the season and played their best hockey of the season. That's in college hockey, that's what matters. You get hot in February and March, you make a run, and you can find yourself in the NCAA tournament. And this BC team was a period away from going to the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah.
They finished the season in the Hockey East tournament. Their first game, they have to go down to Providence, who is the number 2 overall seed in the Hockey East. It's a best of 3. They lose the first one. You're like, okay, you know, here's the end of the season. Then what do? They catch fire. They win game 2. They force a game 3 Sunday. They win that game. Then they go into TD Garden playing big, bad UMass, who all of a sudden is having their best year in history.
Yeah.
And this is a UMass team that went to the championship game of mm-hmm. the NCAAs.
Mm-hmm.
BC, what do? BC smokes them, 3-0.
Yeah.
To go to the Hockey East Final to play a familiar foe in Northeastern. An interesting first period. BC had 2 goals waved off. I personally think both of them should have counted. But hey, it is what it is. The refs make calls. You got to live with it. And BC ends up losing that game by 1 goal, 3-2, to miss out on going to the NCAA tournament. But a ridiculous turnaround in terms of what we saw from this team pretty much like November through January, February, and then what we saw the last week of February into March.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you could even go back before that. BC won their last regular season game against Northeastern here at Conte Forum right before we went on break. And, Jack, you said it. BC just got hot at the right time. You went down, you beat Providence 2-3 in Providence, who also went to the Frozen Four, which, again, you know, the way hockey works, it's a little ridiculous. They were a 4 seed is the lowest seed in a bracket.
For BC hockey?
For NCAA hockey.
Yeah.
So they were a 4 seed, but they got to play in Providence in the NCAA tournament, and they were able to get to the Frozen Four, as was UMass, like you mentioned. And we beat both those teams. Look, we were saying all year we were waiting for this BC team to turn it around. We knew that they had the talent. We knew that they had the guys that the experience with, you know, Casey Fitz and Cameron Brown, and they also had the young talent and the scoring ability with Wallstrom. So we were just waiting for this team to click, and they finally clicked, and they just came up, like you said, just a period short. But again, it was a great season. Significantly, Cotton is coming back, which I think is huge for this team going forward. And I think, and I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again this year, I think BC is back in the NCAA tournament next year, making a deep run into the NCAA college hockey tournament, possibly all the way to the Frozen Four, depending on how some of these recruits pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned David Cotton. He had the most points in Hockey East this season as a forward. You know, first team all Hockey East. He showed himself as one of the best forwards in college hockey, right? And he's coming back. He's the captain. He wanted to come back to be a leader for this team, which says a lot about, you know, about Cotton and what he wants, right? He wants to come back and help turn this program around.
Absolutely.
He came to BC expecting more, right? And he's been here for some of the down years, right? He's coming back. He wants to lead this team. He'll be the captain. McPhee is going to be the other captain on that team next year. And, yeah, like you said, Matt, I think this team is positioned to make it back to the NCAA tournament. And if the last couple weeks of the season are any indication, this is not going to be a BC team you want to mess with next year. Look, whenever you have Jerry York at coach, you got something working there, but BC always has top recruits.
Yeah.
And Jerry York said it in his end of the season press conference, or it might have been the semifinal after BC beat UMass. He said that the team was actually a team, right? He said before it was just a group of guys, And there's a difference between just being a group of guys and being a team, right? He said those guys in there, they think of themselves as brothers. They're going to go out there and play for each other. They're going to sacrifice themselves. They're going to dive in front of pucks for each other. He said that's something it took a while to build. He said it took longer than he expected it to take. And he said that was why this team wasn't as good as we thought they should be. And he's like, that's what they're showing us now, is what they were capable of. It just took us a little while to get to that point of really becoming a tight-knit unit. But look, a lot of these guys are staying back. What BC's losing the trio of senior captains, which will be hard because these guys were captains for two straight years. You lose Fitzgerald, you lose Kim, and you lose Christopher Brown. And I think the big loss there is starting two defenders.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to hurt this team, right? Fitz and Kim were the cornerstones of that defense. They mm-hmm. they were out there. They were always on the power play. They were on our penalty kills. They were like our foundation of our team.
Right.
So that will be tough to fill. That being said, you know, we do have some guys coming in, and we do have a pretty decent defensive core, especially with the addition of Finkelstein halfway through the season,
yeah.
the transfer
from Matia.
Exactly. So we have guys who can step up to that and fill that role. And let's just talk about some of the other players who left. Joe Wall is leaving as a junior. He is going to the Maple Leafs. It was his last year to remain a Maple Leaf, or else he would have gone back into the draft. So the Maple Leafs, basically, I was getting at was saying they just kind of waived a lot of money, right? This was the last year they could retain control of him. So he went pro. Also, Oliver Wahlstrom went pro. The freshman phenom, who I would say, I mean, I wouldn't say he was disappointing, but we expected a lot out of Wahlstrom, the number 11 overall pick in the NHL draft. I think he just never really adjusted to playing at that level. Look, he was 18 years old. The average age in college hockey is like 23, 24.
Yeah.
Right? It's just he was a little bit out of his league, but you saw his talent. You saw how good he was. Unfortunate that he's gone. But again, BC has some great prospects coming in, and you add them to this core that figured it out in this tight-knit group that Jerry York has,
mm-hmm.
and I think this will be a very, very dangerous team next year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about we can talk about the four main guys coming in. First of all, you have Spencer Knight, who's the top goalie recruit in the class.
Yeah.
For college hockey. So you're bringing in the best.
The best of the best.
Exactly. You're going to have a great goalie in net. You're going to have a great freshman goalie in net to fill the void of Joe Wall. Then you also bring in a right winger, Matthew Boldy, who is looked at by all, you know, NHL, by all NHL prospect ranking systems as a top 10 player. He's currently dominating in the under-18 world tournament. He's going to be a star. He's a guy that's going to put the puck in the net, who's going to generate chances. You pair him up with Cotton, that could be very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
In addition, you have Alex Newhook, who is a top 10 to top 15 prospect. He's a center. He's from Canada. Same thing. Tearing it up in the under-18 worlds right now. Another very, very dangerous offensive weapon you add to this BC team that didn't score that many goals last year.
Yeah, maybe you throw these two guys on a line, get a little freshman line that you can hopefully stick together for a couple years with Boldy and Newhook, and that could be a top line of the future. You know, Boston College had a dominant first line this year, and that first line is coming back. And now if you can build this line behind it, a Boldy Newhook line, throw a left winger in there, and the next thing you know, you could have two very, very good lines moving forward.
Absolutely. And rounding it off, we do have Drew Hellison, who's a top 50 defensive product coming to BC. So you add another strong defender to throw into the mix to help fill that void that you lose with Kim and Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
So I think this is a BC team, like we've touched on, they figured it out at the end of last year. They know what they're capable of. Majority of that team is still in there. And a lot of these players have been there for long enough to have played through losing seasons at Boston College, which none of them came here for that, right?
No.
They all know what this franchise, what college hockey at BC is about and what is expected. And I think the fire that they showed the last couple weeks of the season shows that this team is ready to make some noise. They're ready to put BC back on the map. And you bring in, you know, three top 15 prospects in terms of, you know, future NHL players, a great goalie, two more great offensive pieces. You bring in another strong defender. And this is just naming the top four recruits. I mean, there's going to be at least four more coming in with this class. So I think there's going to be a lot of noise coming out of this BC hockey team next year, like you said, Matt.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm looking forward to this hockey season coming up. And again, looking forward to the basketball season too. I think there's a lot to look forward to here on the Heights. These are two teams that are definitely trending in the right direction. You know, both as the seasons progressed for hockey, they were trending in the right direction, and they have good recruits coming in, so they're still trending in the right direction. And same thing with BC basketball. It's going to be a longer process than hockey just because of the nature of playing ACC basketball.
Yeah.
But they are stockpiling young talent right now. and they are positioning themselves to be good down the stretch in a year or two or three.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think basketball, like you said, a couple years out. I think this hockey team next year competes for the Hockey East title.
Absolutely.
And I think this is a team that's back in the NCAA tournament. They're ready. They have the pieces. You have Coach York. What else do you need? Also, I think one thing we should point out, the big news from this hockey team, especially at the end of the year, was Logan Husko with his injury in the Hockey East Championship game. Great news that he is perfectly fine. He suffered a concussion, but he should be perfectly fine by next year. I think even by now that's been a couple of weeks, he is A-okay. And he'll be back for his junior year. And like you said, that top line, Cotton, Matula, and Husko will be back, and they'll be back terrorizing goalies throughout the Hockey East. And another thing to point out, one goalie they won't be terrorizing is Caden Primo, who went pro. So Northeastern will not have their star goalie who has plagued BC the last 2 years. So just another positive right there. I think that just about wraps it up. You know, two teams that finished below expectations this year, but two teams that we both agree are trending in the right direction and should be exciting to watch on the Heights next winter. So thank you for listening. I'm Jack Salmon, joined by Matt Marosco.
And this has been another WZBC Sports Podcast.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot! Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Bean Pot Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.